Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's go to Washington now, Capitol Hill, where Republicans are still working hard to get that tax bill on the president's desk by Christmas. We've been talking about it for weeks now. There are a lot of big changes in that bill. Huge tax breaks for corporations, the standard deduction for individuals, but tucked way inside, some very, very old and very big political fights are being settled. After decades of legislative battles, the bill opens up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, to oil exploration and drilling. Andrew Kitchenman is Alaska's state government and politics reporter at KTOO and Alaska Public Media. He joins me now. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, as I said, this is an old fight over ANWR. How far back does the battle over drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge really go?
It's really been happening since the refuge was created in 1980. Former U.S. Senator Ted Stevens was a longtime champion of developing the refuge, doing some oil exploration, and pretty much every member of Alaska's congressional delegation ever since then has pushed for it.
So what happens now in this tax bill if the president signs it? Is it a free-for-all? Can oil companies just dive into ANWR?
What we're talking about is a coastal area of ANWR called the 1002 area, and it's about 1.5 million acres, about 7 to 8% of the overall size of the refuge. And we really don't know, since we don't know how much oil is there. We know there's some oil, but we don't know how much. It really is to be determined exactly how much oil production is going to happen there and how much ultimately oil companies are going to invest in that area.
So we'll talk about Alaskans in just a minute, but let's talk about Washington really quickly. This is a long wish for Republicans and Republicans from Alaska. Was this tax bill the moment on a bill that only needed 50 votes to pass that people knew they could finally get this old score settled?
I'd say my colleague Liz Ruskin in Washington has been covering this, and there is a sense that it was very important for particularly U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, and Liz has been reporting on that.
So let's go to Alaska now. Break it down for us, Andrew. How many people in Alaska want ANWR drilled, and how many people don't?
I would say that the majority of Alaskans, our 740,000 or so residents, support it. Basically, a lot of people work in the oil industry, and even more people have friends or family members who work in the oil industry. And so a lot of people are immediately affected in that way. More broadly, everyone in Alaska could potentially benefit from more oil production because it will help the state government. And in a small way, it might actually help something that some people in the lower 48 might have heard of called the Alaska Permanent Fund, which was built up over time using oil revenue. And it was started after the oil discovery in Alaska. There was concern that the state would spend the money that came in too quickly, so they set some aside for a fund that's supposed to last forever. And after the fund was started, they started something called the Permanent Fund Dividend, and that's an annual check that you may have heard of, in which every Alaskan in the state receives what's basically run from about $800 to a little more than $2,000 every year. And that's every man, woman, and child in the state.
Huh. Well, that might explain why there's so much support for more drilling. ANWR is federal land. It's not state land. If they strike oil there, does it feed into the permanent fund dividend? Do people get bigger checks?
Well, as far as overall revenue going to the state, it's supposed to be about 50% to the state and 50% to the federal government as far as the government revenue from it. And a portion of that state revenue would go toward the permanent fund. But at this point, the permanent fund really isn't growing due to oil production. It's really growing at this point due to the earnings growth in the fund. So it really, at the end of the day, probably won't be that important to the permanent fund.
So what about the environmental concerns here, Andrew? We've heard for years environmental groups worrying about the North Slope, worrying about drilling in ANWR. Do those concerns come mostly from outside Alaska and not from people inside?
Yes, But Alaskans do value the natural environment in the state. So while Alaskans definitely have an interest in developing our resources, there also is concern about the environment. Traditionally, the effort to oppose drilling in Anwar has really come from the lower 48, particularly in recent years. Senator Cantwell from Washington State has been a leader in blocking Anwar development.
So where does this fight go? If the tax bill says it's a green light in Anwar, does exploration start right away, or does this go to the courts like so many other things seem to do?
It'll take some time. Even if there isn't any successful legal challenge, we don't know how much oil's there, and so it really remains to be seen how quickly it will be developed.
The tax bill, about to go to the president's desk in Washington, gives the go-ahead for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Andrew Kitchenman with KTOO and Alaska Public Media, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, there are plenty of views in Washington about drilling in Anwar. Alaskans, what do you think about opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for drilling?
Hi, this is Jay from Anchorage, Alaska. Our economy in Alaska is unfortunately tied directly to oil. I know people in the industry, and they're highly focused on safety and preventing any kind of leaks or spills. The newest, safest technology would be used on a new drill site, and likely would be more reliable and cleaner than the existing infrastructure in Prudhoe Bay. I'm a yes vote.
This is Salida in Girdwood, Alaska. In my years living in Alaska, I've been fortunate enough to travel to and stay in many remote Alaska villages where people still live a traditional subsistence lifestyle. This allows for a really deep connection to culture and identity. The fragility of the Arctic ecosystem, combined with the difficulty of appropriate and timely spill or disaster response, makes resource development here a tremendously risky endeavor. While I do understand that some resource development can be done responsibly, the risks to the Arctic environment and the people who depend on it are simply too great.
If you live in Alaska or have ties there, call us. Tell us what you think about drilling in Anwar, 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always tweet us, at The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering technology solutions for businesses, from laptops and tablets to smartphones, and including tech services like setup, repair, and tech security. More at Staples and Staples.com. Staples, it's pro time.